time to get underway with Radio Friendships. Stay tuned as your hosts, Don and Sandra Tipton, share exciting news about what God is doing throughout the world in this missions-minded radio broadcast.
Great day and welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed representing Don and Sandra Tipton from Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. You know what? We're really glad that you've joined us today. But I do have to tell you up front, some of today's program may be of an adult nature. If we are interviewing a former prostitute and she is going to share some of her experiences, but more importantly, the transformation that she found through Jesus Christ. But with that being said, I would like to give you a chance to exercise parental discretion. Well, we do have Michelle Robert waiting for us on the phone. And I think, Michelle, maybe the best way to start this program would be to open it up in prayer. Would you like to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Father God, we thank you for today, Lord God. We thank you for the opportunity to be on your airways, Lord God. And we thank you for what you have planned today, Lord God. And I pray in the name of Jesus, as we talk about prostitution, pimping, drug dealing, Lord God, that there will not be offense or hardened hearts, Lord God. But I pray that what we talk about today and what I share about my personal life, Lord God, I pray that hearts are softened, Lord God. I pray that people's hearts are changed, Lord God. And I pray that they will reach out a hand and help a brother or sister in Christ that's stuck in a lifestyle that they never meant to be in. Lord God, we speak out destinies in the name of Jesus, and we know that your word never returns void. So we thank you for the word that you have today, and we thank you for every ear listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Michelle, I think probably a good place to start would be your testimony.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was younger and when I was in school, I had a problem with learning. I had a little bit of a learning disability. And in high school, I started hanging out with the wrong crowd and kind of experimented with drugs. Well, I was in Minneapolis at the time, and I was very adventurous. And I started catching the bus into downtown Minneapolis. I was actually from the suburbs, from a pretty normal, quote-unquote, home. And I started hanging around in the bad parts of the city, and I had kind of learned things the hard way, ended up being raped, beaten. But what I also saw back then was that everybody didn't live the way that I lived, that everyone wasn't from the suburbs, and everyone didn't have the same opportunities available to them. And what's strange about it is I just felt drawn to those areas because I felt like I could somehow relate better with people that were in a poverty mentality and a survivor mentality where they did what they had to do to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I started hanging out in nightclubs when I was about 16, getting in the back of nightclubs with girlfriends. And one of these nights, I came out of the bathroom and some pimps had guns on us and told us we weren't going anywhere. And we were abducted from that club.
Wow.
And taken to another state, which was Houston, Texas, and made to prostitute against our will.
Wow. Wow. How old were you when that happened?
I just turned 17.
Wow.
And you know what's strange is how your mind helps you cope when you're in a situation like that. Because along the ride to Houston, Texas, I got to know the pimp who kidnapped me, and he actually cried with us. It's really strange, but got to know that he had been through things in his life, not making what he did okay, but, you know, just starting to understand the mind of hurting people really do hurt people. So he took us out to Houston, and now I know what I went through is sex trafficking. It was trafficking. I was trafficked from Minneapolis to Houston, and many times this pimp would threaten to sell me to another pimp if I didn't listen to what he had to say. And I saw a lot of this going on around us, and it was pretty traumatic. We were beaten or hit, and there was a lot of pretty abusive situations. And I didn't fight it because they had guns, you know.
Right, right.
And I wouldn't have made it out of there. So what ended up happening, we ran away. We escaped from these pimps. But what I ended up doing with my life is I went back to prostituting after I left.
Okay, so now you were abducted.
Yeah.
You were taken to another state for prostitution, forced into it, then you escaped. and went back into prostitution on your own. Is that right?
I did.
And why did you do that?
I think that by this time I was already numbed by having sex with people for money. And also my sexual experiences when I was younger, which is very common, I would say about 99% that I know of working girls have been victims of molestation and rape.
Okay.
Or incest. And I have a couple of issues of molestation when I was younger, not from family members. So I didn't know sex as love. I knew it as an action.
And really, the primary purpose was just to get away from the pimps, correct?
When I went back into prostitution,
yeah.
You mean?
Yeah.
No, I was away from him. I went back to my parents' house. I tried to really get myself together. I went and got my GED.
Okay.
I took some college classes. And my family ended up getting transferred to another state for my father's job. And I stayed behind.
Let me ask you real quick. What did your parents think happened to you this whole time? Did they know?
They just thought I ran away.
Okay.
No, I think they just thought I ran away. And then a friend of mine, after we escaped from the pimps, my girlfriend's mother sent her ticket to get home. But I was left behind. And I was staying with some customers that helped us get away. And a friend of mine back home called my father, and then he sent me a ticket.
Okay.
So I never really explained what was happening.
Wow. Well, that sounds like an awful lot of traumatic experience for somebody to go through in a whole lifetime. And here you were only 17, 18 years old.
Yeah.
Now, how in the world did you come to know Jesus in the midst of all this?
Well, I had continued working in that industry for all of my 20s. And in the middle of my 20s, I ended up getting addicted to methamphetamines because I mentally could not handle what I was doing anymore. And I really felt like if one more person touched me that I might hurt them or lose my mind. So I got to the point where I was high off of meth and I didn't want to live anymore. And I didn't see any way out of my circumstances. I was very depressed and alone. And I had a gun. I owned a gun and I kept it in my dresser. I think I'd probably been up on drugs for a couple of days. And I pulled the gun out of the drawer. And I said, God, if you're real, and if you take the way I feel right now away from me, I will change what I'm doing for a living, and I'll quit doing drugs, and I'll find a church, and I'll give my life to you. Well, I felt a peace come into the room, which I now attribute to the Holy Spirit, and I set the gun down, and I got down on my knees, and I prayed. Well, the next day, I asked actually a phone girl at a call service I was working for in Las Vegas if she knew of a good church. And so she sent me to what is now called the International Church of Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So right away, I started hearing from the devil thoughts in my head that you can't go to church, you're a prostitute, you're on drugs, you know, because I didn't quit everything immediately after that prayer. But I remembered in a song that I heard years ago that said, just come to him as you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked in that church. I had drugs on me. I had a gun in my car. I was coming off of a call. And I came in. I sat in on the service. And I kept going like that. And I would go on calls that night. But I just kept going. And slowly, God started working on me. And the pastor's wife came up to me. And she said, you know, I was praying and I saw your face. And I don't know why. Will you meet with me? And I was like, yeah, okay. So I met with her, and I must have been shaking. I was probably high. And she said, well, I don't know what's going on here, but I want to obey God. So why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself? And I said, well, I'm a call girl, and I've been in Las Vegas for, and she said, wait a minute. So you're a prostitute? And I said, no, I'm a call girl. And she said, could you explain to me the difference? And I was in total denial.
You know what, though? We do that all the time with our sin. If we can find some other label that, in our eyes, worse than what we're doing, then what we're doing isn't so bad.
Absolutely. I was in total denial. And I noticed this lady that was all over the news lately, Ashley Dupree, who got caught with that senator. Well, she was on 2020, and she's sitting there with Barbara Walters or Diane Sawyer, I can't remember which one, but doing the same thing. She was saying, no, an escort. Not a prostitute, an escort. And I was like, oh my gosh, she sounds like me.
Yeah, well, I've heard it a lot in the drugs. As a matter of fact, I used it a lot. Well, I just smoke pot. At least I don't do cocaine. Well, and then I started doing cocaine. Well, at least I don't smoke it. And then I'd smoke it and I'd say, well, at least I don't do heroin. You know what I mean? There's always something.
At least I don't shoot up. No, I didn't shoot up.
Yeah.
But you know what? The transition, seriously, it was the hardest thing I've ever been through, was the transition. And for a long time, I kept one foot in the church and one foot out because I didn't know how to work a regular job. And I was so used to that money and to the drugs, too, that I really hadn't hit bottom yet. That night when I wanted to kill myself was not bottom yet for me. So I kept on going. But what I did was I got like a sugar daddy or a regular then. And I was so excited to come and tell my pastor's wife.
Look, and what's funny now, huh?
I'm only sleeping with one guy now for money. And I was so excited. And she was like, what? You think that's okay too? But I thought it was really exciting.
Yeah.
But I think what finally hit me was, it was me and another girlfriend. We were both trying to get out of the business. And she had a regular client and I had a regular client. And she was going to go back to college. And what I was doing is I was opening up a salon and that was going to be my way out. So I figured then I could still make good money and kind of slide my way into heaven. Well, this is what happened with me is once I told my regular, who I thought was somehow a friend as well, that I didn't want to grieve the Holy Spirit anymore, so I couldn't sleep with him anymore. Yeah, he stopped pouring money into the salon I had opened, and so that closed. So now I was flat broke. But you know what? I promised God that I would not go back to prostitution, and I didn't.
Well, Michelle, I think this is a good place for us to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Michelle Robert. We'll be right back.
The days ordained for us are written in God's book before one of them comes to be. It doesn't matter who your family is, how much money you have, what house you live in, or the education you have. There's a bigger picture. Nehemiah was a cupbearer in the king's palace when he heard that the wall around Jerusalem was destroyed. He was deeply moved and he made a decision to leave a good job, assemble a team, travel to Jerusalem, and repair the wall. His team continued to work even as they were ridiculed and threatened. They worked with one hand and held a weapon in the other. God created our inmost being. He knit us together in our mother's womb, and like Nehemiah, we aren't just passing through this planet by chance. There's a reason for you being here on Earth. Are you living the days ordained for you by God?
For more information about Friendships Unlimited, go to www.friendships.org. Okay, we're back with Michelle Robert, the host of a radio program called Life After the Game, found on the Spirit Flow Network. Now, you can listen to this anywhere in the country through the internet by going to spiritflownetwork.com. And just another quick reminder, this is an interview with a former prostitute, so parents may want to be advised on whether or not they want their children to hear this program. Now, Michelle, we had kind of gotten to the point where you had gotten out of the game, out of prostitution, but now I imagine that there was a bit of a dry period, some challenges that you were faced with when you first got out. Did that happen in your life?
Oh, my gosh. It was awful. I lost everything except for my cat.
The cat that happens to be with you tonight?
Yes. Yeah. She's been with me through it all.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Actually, before we get into that question, since we were talking about your radio program, why don't you tell us a little bit about Life After the Game? This is interesting because I got a chance to hear a little bit of it last week, and I think you have another regular listener. It was very well done.
Oh, awesome.
Well, how do people tune into this?
Well, the radio show is called Life After the Game. You can find it on spiritflownetwork.com, and that's spirit. FLOW network.com. And it's called Life After the Game because basically the world that I was in with prostitutes and pimps and drug dealers is called the game. That's what we call it.
Okay.
And so it's geared towards helping people through the transition of going from being a prostitute or a pimp or drug dealer into serving a life with Christ. Because my hope is that thus, I kept telling myself when I was going through the transition was, if this is easier for the next girl, then what I'm going through right now is worth it.
Yes.
That's why I had to tell myself when I lost my car, when I lost where I was living, when I was down to riding the bus and going on interviews and I didn't know where to tell people I'd been working, since I was a teenager. What do you say? You know, and it was hard. It was really hard because I was used to driving a nice car and living in a nice place and having money to eat and having, you know, I was used to these things, but I just had such a conviction from the Holy Spirit and I couldn't go back. And not only that, but at the end of my testimony of being in that lifestyle, one of my best friends was murdered while I was on the phone with her. And that was my girlfriend that I mentioned that we both have regulars and she was trying to go to college. And the last time she went to go meet with that customer of hers, he blew her head off. And after that, he took a gun to himself. And it was while I was on the phone with her. She was going to break it off with him. And if it wasn't enough for myself to get out of that industry or completely change my life, I had made a promise to her that if one less girl is murdered or dies in the business, then she did not die in vain. And that was my promise to her. And that's the meaning of the radio show.
Well, does this allow people to call in? Do you have a live format?
Yes. Oh. Yes, it's live. And it's every Thursday, Pacific Standard Time, from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m.
Okay. 6:30 to 7:30 p.m.?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. And so this is a great way for somebody that may be struggling or looking for some kind of hope, or parents that may be just wondering how they can reach their daughter, or, you know, a whole number of people can get information from somebody that has been there, advice, maybe some insights on what best to do, what not to do. Man, so they can call you in and do this anonymously, which probably is a great help to a lot of people, because awful lot of shame is, for some reason, it really bonded itself to the sex industry, where we tend to forgive people that have been to prison and drug addicts more easily. I don't know why that is, but this is a great avenue to help people.
Well, and I think, like you just touched on, I think a lot of people do not understand how somebody would become a prostitute. And I think people might be able to relate to that a little more than how would somebody become a pimp.
Good point.
And even we as Christians, who are supposed to be following in Jesus' footsteps, and who did he use to hang out with?
Great point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people don't understand. I remember when I walked in the church, I don't know if it was obvious, but I know I was showing cleavage. I know I had my cell phone on. I had a lot of jewelry on. You know, maybe it was obvious I was a call girl, but I remember I was at different churches because I tried a couple, but I would see people building little circles around the pastors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like they're scared of the spirits on them or something. Well, are you scared of what's on you? You have more authority in Jesus Christ than the enemy has.
Amen.
You know, but, and then I wonder about the women that have had husbands that have been addicted to porn, how they must feel towards us.
So I
really feel called, and I've told you this, I feel like God has put a calling on my life to help people understand how in the world somebody becomes a prostitute, a stripper, a pimp, a drug dealer, a drug addict. How do they get into that? And you know what? It can happen to the best of people. And I know when I was a little girl, I don't think any of us, when our teachers asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? I don't think anyone raised their hand and said, I want to be a prostitute.
Yeah.
I want to be a pimp. It was life circumstances.
Yeah. And you know what? There's so many people that are pointing fingers at others that do this, that if their circumstances were just a little bit different, who's to say they wouldn't be doing the same thing?
Yeah. My thing was, part of it was abuse, and then part of it was lack of education. And like I said, I had a learning disorder, but I didn't know what was wrong with me. So every time I tried to go back to school, I couldn't keep up. Yeah. I didn't find out until I was in my 20s that I was dealing with ADD.
Okay.
Now I'm healed.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, listen, Michelle, maybe there's somebody listening today. There's probably a lot of people listening today that have been touched by your story, because this isn't just limited to prostitution. There's so many areas and so many people that are being affected by this. What would you say to a girl that needs to take that first step of faith and trust God?
Well, the Bible says just come to him as you are, like I mentioned earlier, which is what I did. And the word says that God predestined you before you were even born. And when I first got saved, that was a scripture that really stood out to me, that there were those that were predestined, and those that he predestined, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. And what that tells me to tell you today is that, just like I said, God knew you before you were even born, before you were even in your mother's womb. God planned you. God planned you, and he knew exactly where you would be right now. He knew that you would fall into prostitution or stripping or pimping or whatever it is that you're doing. He knew that you would go through these things. But that's why Jesus died on the cross, for your sins. And he wants you to come to him, and he will forgive you of everything. And then he wants you to forgive yourself. And I know your heart. And I know no girl wants to be in that business. We enjoy the money, but none of us enjoy the dealings that we have with those men, walking into rooms or being alone with men, not knowing if they're going to be that serial killer that's been out there, not knowing if they're going to beat you up, the violent calls. I know you don't want to be in that situation, and God knows it too. And just turn to him. Find a good church. If you're a little bit scared, just start going and sit in the back. Yeah. Or listen to the show. Send me a message. I'll keep in contact with you. I'll talk to you over the phone. I have girlfriends. I can help connect you with girls that have been through just what you're going through. Mm. But you know what? There is a way out. And I do the show because I know there's organizations in the secular realm that help prostitutes. But I do the one that's for Christians because I know that Jesus was the only one that could help me out of it. He was the only one that could heal me. He was the only one that could restore me and say, yes, you were this, but you know what? Now I'm going to use it for my good. And God will save you. Yes. He will take you up out of prostitution, and he will use you. He'll separate you from the other girls, and then he's going to use you as an example. And the girlfriends you've been out there walking the track with, watch. They'll start getting saved. It's crazy, but I've had it happen myself.
Oh, yeah.
God has a call on you. You are set apart. You are called by name. And I prophesy to you right now, daughters of Zion, stand up to your call. Mm-hmm. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power of, and of love and of sound mind. And God has a great calling on your life. And the gift of gab that you've been given, that you've been using to get money, God is going to use that same gift to win others for Christ.
Hallelujah.
You watch. You've been called to be a leader. And the enemies come against you all your life for a reason, because you have an awesome call on your life. You can do this. You can overcome this. You can go back to school. You can be anything that you want to be. You can go into ministry. You can open up a home for other women. Anything that's been your heart's desire, you can help children. It's not too late to change the world. It's not.
Amen.
And I want to encourage you to stand up to your call tonight and give your life to Christ in Jesus' name. As a matter of fact, Jesus' great-great-great-great-grandmother was Rahab the prostitute.
That's right. That's right.
I think I went great enough, but she was in his lineage.
Yeah.
Prostitution is no bigger of a sin than someone that lies or, you know, whatever some other sins may be.
That's right. That's right.
So whatever you've done, all you have to do is come to Christ and ask him to forgive you. I mean, even if you've murdered somebody, God can save you and he can change your heart.
Right.
I'm not saying any of these things are okay.
No.
I'm saying they can be forgiven.
Okay, well, we only have a few seconds left. Why don't you give us some information on how people may reach you and how to find the radio program?
Okay. The show is called Life After the Game. And actually, you can go to www.lifeafterthegame.com and you can reach me via the radio station, or it'll connect you with my MySpace. And the radio show is on Spirit Flow Network, and it's from 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific Standard Time every Thursday.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us today. That was Michelle Robert, and we'd like to invite you all back here on Radio Friendships tomorrow. Have a great day, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.